We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing Play Up Pompey. It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
Welcome to episode 6 of the Lockdown Football Hour. I hope you're all doing well at home. How have we managed 6 episodes? Not too sure about that, but we are still going strong and we intend to keep it that way until the football finally returns. And speaking of which, we could be one step closer to that return. We'll be discussing that this evening, as well as the future of Steve Seddon, the old Pompey pub, and Liam's curly hair. This week, as you can see, we are joined by our very own Henry Deacon, presenter of Over the White Line, who'll be here for the next 60 minutes or so to help us along with everything we need to talk about. Don't forget to get involved with the conversation. You can comment below on the stream. We'll try and read out as many as we can between the next hour and so. Welcome to episode 6 of the Lockdown Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
It's nice to have you all back along, Ryan Stillwell. I hope you've had a pleasant 7 days. I believe we're 6 weeks in. You've still bottled to play me at FIFA, so I'll take that as a W, as a win.
You didn't just say it, did you?
I will play you at some point.
I forgot you're 11 years old, Jake, using that sort of phrase. W. Come off it.
I mean, some of us do work more than others, Jake, which is why I've not had time to play you at FIFA.
I'll take that. And someone else who has been hard at work over the last week or so, I've seen on social media, Henry Deacon, of course, presenter of Over the White Line, media manager at Havant towards Louisville FC. Henry, welcome to the show. It's been trying to get you on for a while. It's great to have you on.
Yeah, no, absolute pleasure. Great to be on, and just a little bit to talk about.
Just a little bit. And before we do get into that, nice to have all four of the football faces on one show together. I don't think that's happened ever, but here we are.
And in terms of guest Football Hour setups, I think Henry's in a very tight contest with Mr. Drabble at the minute. I'm really rating the setup you've got on there.
Smashed it.
Shirt in the background, Football Hour logo. I mean, he's come from
the trophy cabinet out. See.
Trophy cabinet, yeah. Bigger than Southampton.
Well, we could almost get a weather update with, you know, it's going to be cold here, raining.
There's dry spells over to the north. Further south you go, a little bit sunshine, westerly breeze around Wales. Highs are 22.
He's done that before, hasn't he?
He's definitely done that before.
Back to you in the studio, Hugh.
I thought it'd be more of a League Two is starting again. League One, not quite so much.
My I thought the Express adverts were about to start.
Oh, get me started on that, God.
I thought we were just going to start hearing that kid going, keep the pound in, Pompey.
That's actually Jake. There's a myth.
That was what he did before he was invited on the Football Hour. He had to do the equivalent of washing dishes.
And that brings us into episode 6 of a Lockdown Football Hour. It's been great to have you all along.
That's why I got Henry on, because I knew he'd join in.
Yeah, I think this is bullying. If anyone's out there watching this, send help. Let's get into it. Let's get some. Let's move the conversation along. And I know Ryan's going to want to probably start off with this one. 6 episodes in, Ryan, and we finally heard of some little bit of news about League One football returning.
Yes, we are almost there. It looks like Tuesday is going to be decision day for League One to finally determine how the season ends. And in a rather amusing twist of fate, it's the same ending we thought about a month ago, which means that all this time, nothing's really changed, apart from the fact that clubs are facing more financial uncertainty. And it, in fairness, it has led to some cracking articles. Like, we've extended Steve Seddon's loan deal to the end of the season, which is essentially going to be 180 minutes of football against Oxford, probably. and then that's about it. So, yeah, it's good that we're finally getting there. But I did first see a thought, nothing's changed. This could have been done a month ago,
yeah,
and we could have saved a lot of grief for everyone and start preparing for the future. But dear God, let's just hope that in the end, Tuesday is actually when we can get the ball rolling on A, sorting out at the end of this season, start next. And obviously a lot of the fans watching will want to know about what on earth is going to happen with the remaining games this season. And obviously once the club finds out, we can start planning for that as well.
I don't want to keep dwelling, Liam, because we've done that over the last five episodes when we've had not a lot to talk about. But I think the frustrating thing is for fans, for us trying to prepare for the inevitable end of the season, start of next season, is the fact that leagues all around us, across the world, in our own country, they all seem to be heading in some sort of direction. But League One, for some reason, seems to be just at some sort of stalemate. And we're still, okay, yes, we've got Tuesday as a pin date to finally hear some news. We're still in that kind of, we still don't know really what's going on. That's the frustrating thing.
Yeah, and it has been like that, like you say, from day one. But I go back to what I've said over the last few weeks. That I've said it last week, said it a week before. What frustrates me is there should have been something in place relatively quickly, that, you know, longer than it's taken now for everyone to sort of follow suit on the same sort of path. But I think going forward, I was watching the news earlier and looking at what they're talking about doing for Premier League, you know, the rest of the Premier League season, what, you know, precautions they've got to take and what things will be in place. I'd be kind of glad if we'd only just do one or two games until this is completely gone, because it's just going to be a nightmare, isn't it?
Yeah.
105 people, up to 105 people allowed in a stadium. I mean, that's all right for them down the road because that's sort of their average attendance, but it's just going to be, it's going to be surreal. But yeah, it's, again, it's just still a big mess, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I hope we actually get some information on, is it Tuesday or Monday?
Tuesday. I think it was meant Tuesday, to be, yeah, Monday.
Hopefully we don't get another statement saying there is no news, but we'll have another statement next Tuesday.
We've, yeah, had a meeting to decide on a meeting.
We've had that, yeah, though, haven't we?
We've had that.
We genuinely have had that, yeah.
I think we can all agree as well, lads, but there's going to be two options that it's going to be. I don't think there's any outside scenario which is going to be voted upon. I think it's either going to be end the season on an unweighted points per game system, which the majority of teams seem to be in favour of. In case you're not aware, that would see Pompey in the playoffs against Oxford, with Fleetwood and Wickham the other one. Or they're going to carry on the rest of the season behind closed doors. What we've seen this week, Henry, there's been a leak on social media from one of the other League One clubs, is that 15 of those League One clubs, presumably not including Pompey, have voted or are going to vote to end the season and go with the unweighted points per game and not carry on behind closed doors. So can you see that being probably the most realistic outcome?
Not the most realistic, the only outcome.
Yeah.
I cannot,
yeah,
see there being,
yeah,
any,
the only, yeah,
15 to 7 is impossible. It's impossible to change. I mean, when you're going into scenarios with leagues, a buffer of 2 is a massive buffer to overcome because everyone looks at their own interests. 15 to 7 is just more or less impossible to gauge over. And at the end of the day, there's a real distinct difference between the clubs in the 15 and the clubs in the 7. Now, the clubs in the 15 are doing it for their reasons, and they're not going to change their reasons behind it because it benefits them. The clubs in the 7 have done it for their reasons that benefit them. Ultimately, every club, rightly or wrongly, however you think about it, are going to vote for what outcome, what system works in favour of them. So I think if there was to be a budge, it would perhaps be the fact maybe it was 14-8 or 13-10. Mm. But I wouldn't see anything that would be that would dramatically change it. Tuesday, I fully expect that the season will be finished and that there'll be a criteria for playoff matches. And again, that will probably be voted on, whether you play two-legged games at stadiums or you play one-legged games all at neutral grounds with the final. Yeah. I believe he's going to be behind closed doors at Wembley regardless. So maybe, you know, that's probably going to be the next thing that's voted upon when the playoff issue, I believe, will be settled, the season's curtailed.
Speaking of the playoffs, lads, a tweet from Sky Sports earlier in the day. Now, because the Premier League is coming back this month, we all know that's happening. It's going to be shown live on TV across all the different networks. The Championship's returning. They tweeted today about the TV fixtures and what they're going to show, what they're not going to show. And within that tweet, they wrote this: all 15 EFL playoff games live on Sky Sports. Now, I don't want to sound like any sort of conspiracy theorist, but have they essentially confirmed that these playoffs are happening? Now, I know both of those scenarios I've mentioned will eventually lead to playoffs, but I think it's there and right, and I think some sort of decision has been made between, well, I'm afraid to say it, where the money lies.
I think the biggest surprise is the fact that they're all on Sky. Now, obviously, with the Premier League discussion, there was a massive debate as to Sky BT obviously being the main rights holders, and they paid good money for the Premier League rights, but whether BT entered the fray, which they did. Now, I was wondering whether Quest entered the fray, obviously being the Football League right holders for free-to-air highlights, and I wondered whether maybe there would have been a situation there where obviously not as many games as Sky, but the fact that Sky will be broadcasting so many Premier League games, admittedly some of them through free-to-air means, but you know the fact that they've only got so many channels and so many games to broadcast, and especially the fact they've only got a couple now dedicated football channels, that perhaps it would perhaps see Quest come in and say, look, we'll pay you XYZ to do some games. Because the problem is if all games are live on Sky, and this is the problem with the Premier League to start with, is the pubs ain't going to be open, the clubs ain't going to be open, but you know, not everybody has Sky. So you have a possibility that people A, stream the games illegally, or B, even worse, and somehow it's even worse in this situation, people go around to friends' houses, and you're going to have eight people around a house.
Yeah.
In a time where we all need to stay apart. So that's going to be interesting.
One relatively big bit of news, lads, in regards to Pompey's potential playoff opponents, Oxford United, is that one of their better players, Nathan Holland, on loan from West Ham, he won't be returning to the club for the rest of the season. So if that is voted upon, which we pretty much think it is going to be, they have been dealt a massive, massive blow, Ryan. I know you like to look at the opposition a lot, and that kid's got talent, and that's one player who would really cause our back four some problems.
It would be, yeah.
And I can't believe we're actually talking about football.
Yeah, we're actually talking about on-field football, which is brilliant. And unfortunately, this is something I foreshadowed a while back, because had League Two been in a situation where they would have played their playoff games, Colchester released about half their first team and they were sixth in the table. So they would have had to enter a playoff campaign, if you can call it a campaign, with essentially half their academy in force. So to your point there, with the fact that players are now on the verge of being released due to how long this has taken and clubs have to take action, it might have been Ollie who mentioned it regarding the EFL trophy final against Salford. It's going to be a much different looking fixture now, because obviously Salford have taken action, got rid of a lot of their players are going. Obviously, by the time we play that game, a lot of our players will have departed the club as well. So yeah, it's not only the fact that you wait for these playoffs to happen, but because of how long it's taken to organise this, it's what teams do you actually field in these playoffs. And it is, even though I don't expect us to be successful in the playoffs, because it's something that Pompey have never been successful in, it would have still been preferential to have played a full-strength Oxford team in the playoffs, which it looks like we are going to play Oxford. But it would have been preferential, because you don't want to take shortcuts to victory. Certainly not in my case, anyway. I am a win by any means necessary, but I would rather feel it. Yeah, you'd rather earn that victory. So to have a potential advantage, yes, it says about the importance of having a financially stable football club, but these are extraneous circumstances, and I'm not sure if I'd be comfortable going to the playoff final noting we'd beaten an Oxford 11, but not the 11. Because when we played Oxford earlier in the season, obviously they got that last gasp equaliser against us at Fratton Park. It was a good game. And you take a look at where the positions now, that kind of point swing and stoppage time has affected the way the season's panned out. You would want to play that Oxford team again to see what kind of retribution you'd be able to effect. So
would you have that same outlook on it if you were promoted by points per game? Would you?
I'm not sure I could celebrate.
That's what
I don't think I could be out in the streets having a one-man social distance party thinking we're going to the championship. Because really,
it's going to be weird, isn't it?
It is going to be weird. Especially, let's say, for example, that we'd end up in second due to some points per game basis, let's say our home form is that unbelievably good. The fact is, if you look at our remaining away games, I think we had three top eight away from home, and considering our away form, and then if we were to get promoted via that, you would have think we'd have completely jumped the jaws of the shark and got away with one. So
can you just picture it now? Sat, they've announced on however they do it on Tuesday that you're going up by points a game.
Yay. Yeah. Do the Coventry vans drive to Birmingham and have a party outside St Andrews? Or
what's protocol here?
I think the entire Pompey squad, if it were to be Pompey, would just all meet up on a Zoom meeting like we are now.
Hooray.
The entire 20 of them going, yes.
Yeah. Well, they'd meet up for a quiet beer in King
George's
like, playing field.
That sounds like St Mary's, Jake, the way you just said it.
In fairness, we've got a situation at Havant where we're second in the division. And we've got a means of going up, they potentially, if they scrap the playoffs, going up second automatically, even though second's a playoff spot on points per game, or then playing a playoff. So we're kind of in a similar situation. And as much as obviously you want to get promoted, it doesn't feel right, if that makes sense. Mm. We've kind of had to adapt to the fact that, every team wants to play at the highest level they want to play at. In Pompey's case, the championship. And you do, if it was offered, you're not going to say no, but it doesn't feel right. That's the point. It don't feel right.
Did you see the video earlier in the week of, I think it was Salzburg winning the Austrian National Cup? Yeah. And they had the celebration on the pitch, and they stood 2 metres apart in like four rows, and they're just sort of applauding the fact they've won their National Cup.
The thing I didn't get about that was the fact they've just spent 90 minutes on the pitch scoring, tackling each other, hugging each other when they've scored the goals, just to go up and lift a trophy and stand 2 metres apart.
And by the way, they're all lifting the trophy. They're not like disinfecting it between each. Essentially, you've got one mass infectious object that's just passing between each other.
It looked like what you'd do on PES in 2005 or something like that. Trophy.
I mean, my favourite one of those was when the first Bundesliga game came back, and it was that Dortmund. It was that Dortmund game, and the subs benches were, or the subs benches were literally split apart, and they were sat like 6 feet from each other, but they shared the coach to the stadium. So they're sat there rubbing shoulders on the coach to the stadium. Then they've gone, right, I can't touch you for the next 2 hours.
I think it's more of just a statement thing.
It was very much a visual.
But
that's why it's daft, because you literally have to read 1 metre beneath the surface.
How is that going to work with clubs like Pompey when their dugouts are tiny as it is? What are you going to do, put them in the bottom
of
the
south stand? Stick them in the south stand.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Just had a question from Jamie Spencer. He says, will they allow additional subs like the Premier League? I know they're smaller squads, but it would seem sensible as there'll be a higher chance of injury due to lack of competitive game time. Well,
I think they will.
Off the back of that, Jamie, Kenny still wouldn't use all five, so...
The way you breathed out after that, you've been holding that in for so long, haven't you?
I'm only joking. But you know, it's true. He would not use all five. He'd find a reason, R. Kenny. And Tim says, how would you celebrate if we won the playoff final? I'd probably take my top off and just jump in the front room, Tim.
Liam,
you do what Tom Huddleston done when he said that he'd only cut his hair if he scored a goal.
Cutting your hair when we get back to football.
Yeah, cutting your hair when we... dear.
To be fair, if Pompey won the playoff final, obviously we'd be at Wembley for it. What an eerie experience that would be. Pompey would just be promoted to the championship and we'd just be looking around going, that was a good day. Should we pop down there? Oh, never mind. It's shut, isn't it?
It's interesting. I was reading something in the week. I think it was one of the radio silent commentators on the Premier League. I think it was a Bournemouth one. And he's gone, so when we return to action, they're only allowing our main commentator in, and the summariser will be joining us via Zoom from his house. God knows how far away from the stadium.
So when Bournemouth play Newcastle away and you've got someone joining from Weymouth.
Oh, the sad part of that is the lone commentator would have to travel from Bournemouth to Newcastle on his back. Own.
Yeah, and because all the games are being shown on Sky, that one's going to be a 12:30 kickoff. So he's leaving at 2 in the morning.
Why do they never think of the fan?
Yeah.
What was quite sad, it? Tim says, is that really how you'd celebrate if we won the playoff final? I mean, I think he's referring to you, Ryan.
What else could you do? I mean, we'd literally wrap up the show, because the thing is, when you do these things live, you try to vibe off the atmosphere in the stadium.
Yeah.
Like, your voice rises and falls based on everything around you. But because it would be an empty 90,000-seat stadium, we'd just be going, that was a great performance, and points are going up. We'd love to go to the pub, but it's shut. We'd love to meet you, you're at home. And so we're just going to hop on a train with our masks on, and have a quiet beer.
And we'll pass Jake some tissues, Tim, as he'll be crying.
Jake will still be crying, but I mean, obviously, as you asked the question, I would love to have, you know, an absolute street party, reminiscent of like the Common when we won League Two.
This is very
it just wouldn't be the same.
This is very theoretical and obviously not going to happen because it can't happen. But if someone offered you right now, you go up this season, you win the behind closed doors playoffs, you play in the championship next season, when football's back, you know, after the summer, fans are allowed back in, hurrah, things are great. Or if your second option was you don't go up this season, but you're guaranteed to go up next season with the fans to celebrate. Which would you take? Would you take immediate success now, or would you wait another year?
I have a very weird little insight into this, because for ages I've thought whoever goes up won't be ready for life in the next division. But because this has taken so long to play out, clubs are having to let go of players and staff, which means there's a lot of financially struggling clubs out there, which means that those that are more secure may actually have this very unique opportunity to seize the day, capture some players they may not have been able to before, and essentially climb up the football ladder because they are more financially stable. And essentially, they've got a year where they can procure players where other clubs can't. So I don't know if it would work in Pompey's case, because obviously the money difference between League One and the Championship now is getting ever bigger. But you would think that maybe if clubs were struggling that much, Pompey could take advantage of it, considering our AGM accounts from the year. Or, as you quite rightly say, do you want the fans there? And
I don't know.
I'd still have to take the other option, because what's the point otherwise?
Yeah, I personally, like I say, if it was handed on a plate, you go up this season, championship next season, or you go up next season, you get to celebrate with everybody, I'd take the second option, 100%. I'd happily play another season.
I would only take the second option, which I know is not never going to happen, but like you say,
yeah.
If it was, you probably are going to go up next season, not 100% going up, then I would take that, but then...
Yeah.
I don't know. It's difficult. But it'd be interesting to see what the fans think as well. There's quite a lot of you watching. So unpopular opinion. Oh, here we go. I'd prefer us to go up when everything is back to normal and the fans can enjoy it, says Kingsley. So, yeah.
Yeah,
I think we all do.
Tim says Jake 100% as well. Oh, Mason Jordan's watching. So sit up, boy. Please.
Right, okay. It's like I've got my shirt on.
Henry, you go to sleep in your shirts. It's nothing different.
You know what? Actually,
go on.
I've been. To be fair, I've had an important day today. I've been in meetings all day. So you know, I've had to at least look kind of smart.
Henry, I have to say, mate, I am very impressed. Now, if you're watching on the live stream, if you look to the top left, you'll see me. Hello.
Hello.
Good beard. You'll see Ryan to my right. Good beard. Henry. Beard game, mate. Absolutely. And then we go to the bottom right, and...
Well, I mean, I could make it better if you have a black marker pen.
Please do it next week.
Draw one on.
But yeah, Henry, big game strong, mate. Big
game. It's getting there.
We are the sequel to Three Men and a Baby. We are three beards and a baby.
And we've had a...
And we put baby in the corner.
Yeah. In the bottom right corner. We've had a question from Perry saying, just started watching. Hi, Perry. Good evening. What are the club doing about refunds for away tickets? We haven't seen anything on that yet, have we? It's been...
That'll be confirmed once we have full confirmation of when the season ends. Because that's what the club statement said. Yeah, they said the moment they have confirmation on how the season plays out, that's when they'll start planning for refunds, which Yeah. Should be fun.
I think we're in a situation where every single person involved in football knows fans won't be allowed back in stadiums this season. Everyone knows that. Mm-hmm. But because there is no official word on it, you simply just can't say anything. But I think, as Ryan said, as soon as Tuesday, hopefully that is the day we find out, as soon as it's all announced, it'll all come.
Also, he says, what's the delay with obviously to be playing behind closed doors? Don't start Ryan off, please.
Three letters. EFL.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I went on it last week saying that basically the EFL wanted the minority group of clubs in League One to try and change the balance, because it's not a minority in League One that wants to finish the season. Mm-hmm. It's the majority. And I think the EFL were playing delay tactics to see if they could swing that. Never going to happen. Jake, when you said earlier it was a League One club that indicated it was going to be 15, I think it was Rotherham's chairman.
Who
are interestingly...
I wasn't going to snitch.
Who are interestingly second and vote to end the season. So it's very convenient for them to be a whistleblower on the entire operation, because there they get to end the season and B, they get to go up. And it's like you say, Henry, everyone's going to vote for their own self-interest, which is understandable. But as I said last week, at some point, football's in danger now and clubs are in danger. At some point, I think clubs did have to put their differences aside and actually start thinking about the safety of the game. And it's taken a bit longer than we would have liked. And going back to your point earlier, Jake, when you said which is the more realistic option, Henry said there's only one option.
Yeah,
he is right in the sense that we literally have no time to play football now.
Yeah,
because obviously the Premier League is starting what, June 17th. June 17th they're playing the games in hand before like June 19th is a full round of games.
Yeah.
But we would only find out about the EFL on Tuesday. There's no way they'd say, right, you're playing your season 11 days. You probably need like a month to get back to fitness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which means you
start... I would say they are still training in their...
Somewhat,
in small groups.
But I think a couple of friendly games, which has been suggested, but I think would be enough.
Yeah. You're probably looking at July before you even start it.
Yeah.
I think Sky will wait for the Premier League to finish as well. Because the problem is that because every Premier League game is live on television now, with obviously the 3 o'clock blackout effectively being scrubbed during this, then the Sky, there's no interest in them showing a League One play without any disrespect. What are you going to watch? You're going to watch Manchester United Spurs on in the Premier League, or are you going to flick over to the other channel with the greatest of respect and watch?
I'm not being funny. Not being funny, Henry. But throughout the entire season,
tasty little picture.
throughout the entire
especially
season,
especially if Colchester are missing half their team.
Throughout the entire of the last 10 seasons, I don't think Sky have had any interest in showing any League One or Two.
You think they'd show Leeds?
No.
Leeds versus Salford.
So while we're on the subject of Sky, Heidi says, going back to Sky possibly showing the playoffs, I thought it would be free on iFollow for season ticket holders, but. Doesn't that come into the same category as it's not a league game? It's extra, like a cut.
Yeah.
In any other normal circumstance, wouldn't be.
If we played out the season, I could see those games free. But because it's a playoff,
I mean, you never
although
know,
based it, on it, the loss of games, they may incorporate that into some kind of refund.
I was going to say, you never know in these strange situations. The EFL could rightfully turn around and say, yeah, it is free to watch due to the fact that you have missed out on 9 or 10 other league games this season.
Yeah,
right.
And I'm
skinny. A few hundred million quid from Sky will argue otherwise, but
Also, how would it work if any of the players got COVID? Would the team have to isolate, possibly putting the playoffs off again? And it's a question we asked a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
What do you do?
I believe this was my cynical shade segment.
What do you do, though?
Yeah, because what if you're in a relegation battle and you're losing all your games and you could publicly declare, you may not have any, but you could, in an attempt to get out of playing football, saying our players have got COVID, you need to give us points per game, and we
because you're not gonna get like an injury update from a club saying he misses out with COVID. He'll be in the whole team has got to isolate because that's
an incredible team lineup news. Yeah,
that's
number four's got a strained knee, and numbers 8 through 15 are still ill.
This is what worries me. What worries me is, like you say, if we are midway through this playoff campaign, if it happens. If a team turns around, they get their results back from the previous game, a player's got, has tested positive for COVID-19. They've got to isolate. Oh, my God. They've got to isolate. The other team's got to isolate. I mean, that throws out the entire playoffs until further notice, which pushes back the season even more. So, yeah, that does worry me.
On that basis, because obviously sometimes you players come down with viruses or sickness bugs, but they're still told to play out the game. Essentially, if you can field 11, you play. One of the greatest examples of this was probably when Tottenham got food poisoning and half their squad went down and they still had to play on. Now, obviously, coronavirus is a different matter, but if you look at it, it is still basically a virus illness, which clubs have been affected by virus illnesses before where 3-4 players have gone down with it and they've had to miss out. Would that change in this respect because of how global and how media covered coronavirus is? Because on a very basic level, it is an illness, and there's nothing in the rules saying otherwise. You know, if you can field a team, you field a team. So, yeah, it's a very interesting choice they've got to make. And what obviously, concerns... a lot of it's got to be based on what kind of media criticism you would get.
What concerns me is, as of a couple of days ago, there's still players in the Premier League, for example, being diagnosed with it.
Yeah. Was it Hull the other day in the Championship? They had like four players tested positive.
Yeah.
It was also like the same day the Championship said, we're still going to play on. I was like, well, hang on. Colin Barnes have just been wiped out.
Interesting comment here from Josh. While I isolate, he says, why don't Amazon pick up the lower league games? The coverage in those December Premier League fixtures was head-to-head, shoulders and above Sky and BT, which I have to agree.
I would love to see a family of 12 in Kansas City watching Wickham versus Fleetwood.
As much as it's,
I'd like it because how long it takes.
It's a great
idea.
Well,
all the fighting going on between Joey Barton and Gareth Ainsworth, they think it was the NFL.
Exactly. Stop, start. Especially if it got to extra time, they think they're full periods and everything.
Yeah.
It's a great idea, but I think, as Henry said, it's down to rights, it's down to money, and unfortunately money makes the world turn round, especially in football, in terms of Sky or Amazon, BT. There's no money there.
It's so that's why on a societal scale you're seeing like shops open up before schools. You know, which is weird. So yeah, it is down to money.
No, I was just going to ask, before we do move on, obviously, Henry, you haven't Waterlooville.
Yeah.
There's been some sort of news regarding that division. You actually were back at Wesley Park today, reading through your tweets. Yes. How was that? Because obviously, we haven't been to Fratton Park I don't even know what month we're in now, June. Yeah, it's been 3 months since we've been at Fratton Park, or even been near it. And it's eerie. You know, I think that first game back, whether it's behind closed doors with fans, whatever, it's going to be strange. It's going to be a really weird feeling. How was that for you today, obviously, going back to Wesley Park? Because I know, as per your social media post, it brought back a lot of memories, which is, it's so strange talking about.
It's one of those things, because it's such an unnormal time right now that it was just something that just felt relatively normal. As you know, I've been at Havant for 4 years now. It's been my fifth year this year. So I've been there a lot of times, and obviously, you know, I've had a lot of good memories there, you know, promotions and things like that. And because you haven't been there so long, you walk in and it's everything that you've seen, you know, and you've done and you've felt during those, you know, those few years, it just comes back up. And it was a very, very strange feeling. And I think it was stranger knowing that it's going to be a few months before that place does what it's functioned to do, and that's to host football matches. And I mean, in our situation, we don't know, a bit like Pompey, we do not know what league next season we're going to play in. Because as I said earlier, if there's a possibility that playoffs aren't played in our league, and if that's the case, then as the second place team in the division, we could, under the rules, apply for promotion as the second place team. If the full relegation takes place, would be the team that gets the automatic promotion spot. So it's completely bad as far as we're concerned. But as you say, it's very strange, because, you know, that's been a part of my weekly life for 4 years now. You know, whether that's watching a game there on a Saturday, screaming on a microphone and annoying someone in front,
Henry,
a little bit,
it's not like
or
you
know, heads. Going there on you know, going ahead for an away day. You know, this is it's been a massive part of my life, and you know, the fact they haven't been there for 3 months and going back there, it for sure was very, very strange.
Well, they're going for screaming on the microphone. We obviously, it looks like part of next season is going to be behind closed doors as well. Would you want boring games while it's behind closed doors? Because obviously, you wouldn't be able to commentate with the same buzz if it's behind closed doors. You shared that clip the other day. Was it Braintree away? And it was like 5-4 or something like that in Cabamba. Yeah. And obviously, wasn't that Havant's first win or something first like that?
A conference win, yeah.
Yeah. Can you imagine? It was like the 95th minute and Cabamba scores in front of you when you're all going off. It wouldn't have had the same intensity if it was behind closed doors. Yeah. Exactly. You feed off the atmosphere. If that had happened behind closed doors, you'd be like, well, that was fun.
Can you imagine now, at 95th minute, Andre Green, Andy Moon.
Well, no, yeah. Yeah.
Norwich away behind closed doors.
Andre Green, extra at home.
Or extra at home. Is it? Well,
Marquis. You just hear
that was brilliant.
Times through the echo.
Is it, well, Ross or my Jimmy's, it's 3-2. It's like, it wouldn't have the same intensity, you know.
You're not commentating on the snooker part there by Ronnie O'Sullivan.
That was a lovely finish, yes.
Sounds quite strange.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Let's talk about some other news regarding Pompey. And there's news, Liam. I know it's quite strange. The fact, this week there is stuff to talk about that doesn't involve the EFL. It doesn't involve coronavirus. It doesn't involve what's going to happen with the league.
This is what the people watch for.
This is what the people have been reluctantly tuning into the original Football Hour for.
Don't tell Steve Koonsberg.
Steve Seddon has,
of course, Clarice, then. Sorry, mate, go on.
Obsessed. Steve Seddon has obviously extended his loan contract till the end of the season, which is probably going to be just for playoffs. We touched on that. But Cameron McGeehan as well. There's been a lot of articles in the papers throughout the last few weeks. And Cameron McGeehan, he sticks out because he's a player who has openly said he would be happy to permanently move to Portsmouth in the future after this season, which I think is great news. He's a solid player in midfield. He's got the eyes going forward as well. And he's got his family links in Portsmouth as well. So I think he's a player who really gets the club, and he's not afraid to get stuck in that. And I think that'd be a real boost for Pompey, not only in League One, but potentially in the Championship as well.
Would be a great signing, I agree. We haven't seen a lot of him, but what we have seen, you know, he's really...
We've seen a lot of him on opposing teams as well.
Yeah. I mean, he has his off days. Every player does. But he's got bags of potential, and I would snap him up. But it is interesting to see him say that he'd love to sign for Pompey. How many? I know this is probably
certainly looking to force the move.
Look how many articles
like
we've seen. Yeah, I do. Yeah. Look how many articles
like
we've seen in the last few weeks of ex-players saying they'd love to come back.
Apparently it's Joel Ward, Matt Ritchie, Jed Wallace, Ben Thompson.
Most of the news interviews, which have been good, by the way.
I mean, it's nice.
A lot of the news interviews have said about Pompey players who either forced out the door prematurely against their wishes.
Jason Pearce as well. Another one.
And there was that Kyle Bennett interview the other day, not from the news, but the club itself. Mm. And he was talking about in everywhere he's played, he'd never experienced it to quite the degree at Pompey where the opposition score and the home fans chime up and try and support their team. So it is good to see how much players enjoy their time here. Cameron, I would like to see stay here. When I first saw him, I think the first proper chance I got looking was Fleetwood away in the Cup back in January. And he did offer that kind of physicality alongside Naylor, which Ben Close, while he's got good feet, just doesn't offer that same physicality in midfield. And Seddon, left foot, obviously brings a lot to the table. It's great that we've extended his loan from the end of the season until the end of the season. there's an important distinction there. Although there's weird little things like that. I saw this on Twitter regarding the Premier League. Bournemouth shirt sponsor, I think it's Mansion. That is only covered until the end of May. So they will have to finish their season in their training kit. So it's weird little things like that. We've extended Seddon's loan to the end of the season.
Hold on a minute. I'm probably not the only person to think of this, but if Steve Seddon's contract or loan has been extended to the end of the season, surely They know something we don't. Why would they bother otherwise?
Yeah,
I think. Yeah,
yeah. And first. It will just be for 180 minutes against Oxford.
You say safety first, Henry, but there's money involved here. Surely not. Surely not.
Because in the conference, the chairman of Bourne Woods has paid out £115,000, which he's wasted because he thought the playoffs were going to be played this month.
Wow.
So I know Neil Ardley selected a 24-man squad for Notts County for the same purpose, which may not happen. So I think what's happened there is that Pompey have just safeguarded themselves.
I think Pompey are in a position to do that.
I mean, they could pay me some wages if they want. I know they don't have to, but that would be nice to safeguard me. A couple more on the comments. Josh Knight says Westleigh Park, second best ground in Hampshire.
I'll take that.
We've had one from Perry saying, I think McGeehan is a good player, but I haven't seen the player who bossed the game when he was at Luton. Now, I think I'm going to come straight in with that one. I think the team he had around him were just unreal. Not saying we're not unreal.
The team he had around him were a beautiful passing team. Yeah. Because you think
and the manager they had as well.
You think back in the first game of last season when we played Luton at Fratton and beat him 1-0. It was one of the most fluky wins I'd seen at Fratton in a long time. That Luton team were glorious that day. And outside of Jamal Lowe poking into an open net, we were battered.
They
were everywhere. And Luton have always been a pretty team to watch with that rise under Nathan Jones, who's now gone back, which Luton fans were not a fan of, and I can understand
why. It
was
Ryan's face that got me there.
Honestly, I checked Luton's Twitter when he first rejoined, and I half expected him to do his interview in a Stoke tracksuit.
For those Pompey fans who perhaps don't follow other clubs and probably aren't aware of what Ryan's talking about, it would be like Paul Cook coming back.
Yeah.
It would be decent on a football level, but it would be very strange.
It's almost worse than that. It would be like Paul Cook during the title run, like maybe after Colchester away, going because he was getting paid more, and then coming back after he got sacked. It really was a Judas type event.
I've seen some interesting comments in their fans saying, until you get us promoted to the Premier League or safe from relegation, then you're still a snake. We've got a couple more because we're running out of time. It's flown by.
I know. We've still got stuff to talk about.
Have we? Heidi says, do you agree it's an advantage to the lower supporter size not having the fan pressure, or would it be for once an act in our favour as we seem to bottle the playoffs?
I think we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, didn't we?
I think when it's a bit Alan of both. Yeah, I think it could weigh up at a bit of both. I think, as you said, like it could figure out, as like you say, if there are no fans to bump on, it could be very strange for the players, and it might not push them over the white line, to use a pun.
Well, certainly, show, certainly with Pompey.
Could be the other way around.
Certainly with Pompey, our home form, it's surely the atmosphere and the sheer number is surely a factor into why we haven't lost a league game in, 14 months. And then obviously Fleetwood's average attendance is, 4,000 maybe? So, I think there's a point there. So playing behind closed doors would change it, and some teams would be disadvantaged because of it.
I think it's also a case of where the games are played. So, for example, at Pompey, if you're playing at Fratton Park, where every time you've played there, you're used to 18,000-19,000 people shouting, screaming, causing a riot in the stands, and it being empty, I think you feel the effect. But say you played at a neutral ground, it doesn't matter what neutral ground it is, a ground that's not connected to any of the supporters, perhaps you don't play it often, and you play it behind closed doors. I think that would level things out, because it's already an environment you're not used to going to that particular ground. So you've got no experience of what the support is like, what the atmosphere is like. So because you haven't got that experience, that element will feel brand new. So there's nothing feeling missing, whereas if you play at your home ground behind closed doors,
it's not like when you're playing FIFA, you've got the home advantage.
I played FIFA for so long, Ryan.
There's a rumour that Jake plays on amateur and he still loses. Kieran says, hi guys, great show. Thank you very much. And then Daniel says, how do you think we'll go up if it goes to the playoffs? Let's start with Jake.
Do you know what? I think we will. I really do think we will. I think that would be typical Pompey. Never won a playoff game. Haven't scored a goal in the playoffs since 2016. And the second bit, it turns out like a strange scenario as it has no fans, curtailed by a few months. It would be typical Pompey to do it. And I think that would set up an amazing Leeston to Com Trophy final at the start of next season, when it's only League One and Two teams, as well as B teams involved in the competition. It would be a Championship team against a League Two team. But it would be the first time ever, and I hope it does happen, because it would be a great pub quiz question in 56 years' time.
You know what would be better is if Stevenage were in it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Imagine that. Imagine that in 50 years' time, you look at the pub quiz question, it's what was the only season the EFL Trophy was competed between teams that weren't in the division who had to be in to play in it, yeah.
I mean, you've basically given the answer I would have given. Not sure about you two.
Yeah. No. Is my answer, unfortunately.
Okay.
We mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, in terms of the fact that you are playing 180 minutes of football and you need to get going from the off. And if you look at the teams that we'd been playing against in the playoffs, Fleetwood, Wickham are more aggressive teams, and they've got players on that team that are more individually prepared. They don't need outside influence to get themselves going in a game. When you're flash in a pan 180 minutes of football, that's the type you need. You can't waste time waiting for someone else to motivate you. Pompey sometimes take too long to get going on that basis. Yeah. You look, for instance, how long it took for Raggett and Marquis to actually get a foothold in this team and actually, you know, produce. Whereas Fleetwood and Oxford, you don't ever see these teams getting their asses handed to them in games. You never see them like really pasted. They're always in the fight. They're always in a game right till the end. And that kind of 180 minutes of football, it will show that which teams are instantly ready to go. And I think that could come back to haunt us.
My dad has just tuned in. He says, how would you feel as a fan if Pompey won the playoffs but you couldn't enjoy it properly? Well, if you were listening earlier, Dad...
Actually, I probably shouldn't cough, because then you'd assume something.
We went over that earlier, and I think we'd all feel the same, wouldn't we? It would be very strange. Sorry, Dad, can't answer that again. And also, I've got to stop saying Dad, that sounds really cringy. And then Terry says, do you think Harrison and Marquis should start up together up front? I think we should start playing football first. But yeah, I'd like to see that.
It's nice to see that type of debate back.
Normality. Yeah. Thank you,
Terry. Rather than how we end the season, yeah.
Thank you, Terry.
Do we get VAR in the playoffs as well, or should I not go there?
don't start. Henry, we've got 7 minutes left.
Answering Terry's question, I would like to see that, because I don't like seeing a man up top on their own, because it's frustrating, isn't it? Especially if he's on his own.
Yeah, it'd be a great time to experiment that kind of thing a little bit, sort of. Lads, before we do get going, because there is one more thing I do want to talk about. Quite often on this Lockdown Football Hour, we've got a drink between us. I don't know if you all have. I know Henry's got something. I'm not sure if it's an alcoholic beverage.
Diet Coke. The drinking starts later.
I like how Jake sort of looked embarrassed because I used a slightly off-colour word for the derriere, but he's just drinking on live broadcast.
Which is why he's slipping up. That's why he's slipping up with stupid words.
Yeah. he can drink on air.
If you're a regular listener to Football Hour Pompey Live, you'll know that I actually quite often mess up those kind of words, Henry. So it's nothing new. But
I have to stand in every now and then.
My point was, lads, linking it to the Pompey pub, which could soon be making a return on Frogmore Road.
I love
behind the South Stand. The Tudor facade. The old Pompey offices, which they are being refurbished now. The whole outside has been made to look extraordinary. It looks like it did back in the 1900s, the 1800s, when it was first built. It looks fantastic. And the news this week, gents, is that it's setting up potentially reopening back as a matchday pub in a few years' time, if those offices do relocate to a different position, potentially a new sort of stand, which is great news.
That was awful.
But it brings back the traditions of... I can't wait to finish. It brings back the traditions of the club whilst also moving forward in the modern era, which is good to see.
I think it just proves the
you know, the point to, I know people will slate me for this, but people that say these new owners have no ambition for the club, well, yeah, a little touch like that goes a long way for a lot of people.
It's not even, yeah, they're linking ambition. They're upgrading the stadium brick by brick, but they're also giving us a Fratton Park. They've gave it a lick of paint. They're keeping the south stand as it is, which I know is a bit of a tough subject as it is. They're bringing back the Pompey pub. The Milton end is getting refurbished, and it's not, we're going to see a Fratton Park, which is keeping the history of a club without looking like some kind of modern poor bowl, St Mary's, and moving forward with our lives. So I think everything they're doing, good, not to sound like, you know, not because we have to say it, because we don't, but they're doing everything right, and I don't see how you can see any difference.
Couple more, sorry. One from here from my business partner. Actually, I'm going to say former business partner now, because he says up the Saints. So is there a ban feature on here?
Liam, does anyone you know have a name? We've got Dad, we've got business partner. Do we have names? Are we human?
Well, his name's Liam as well, so it's just... anyway, Ashley says, let's decide promotion on whichever commentary team has the best banter. Oh, well, we'd win that straight away.
We're going down, Jake's banter. We're in a relegation battle with Sunderland.
Sunderland and Burton. Yeah. Where's the food?
Jake's mum says, three men and a baby crease me up, Brian.
Thank you.
Baby Jake. There's actually a TV programme.
Would you get ID'd at that new Pompey pub, Jake?
Sorry, one second. Is there a programme called Baby Jake?
Oh, sorry, yes. Did you just refer to her as wife?
Wife. No one Liam knows has a name.
See?
It's Dad's business partner,
Liam,
and wife.
It's 2020. I don't know if you've seen the news this week, but we're trying to move forward, not backwards.
Yeah. I reckon Jake would get ID'd at the refurbished Pompey pub, though.
Funny story, I actually got ID'd for a can of energy drink not long before lockdown started. So.
Actually, I got ID for something the other day, the 18 to buy, and I was quite shocked because I get told I look 40 years old.
What, can't you name this thing that you had to be 18 to buy, Liam? Or is it
alcohol?
I don't know. You just sounded so embarrassed and rushed to say it. Just
remember
off.
What time it is, Jake.
Bedtime soon.
You get cranky before bed.
Jake gets a bit tired when he hears the CBeebies theme at the end of the day. Don't you, Jake? The time has come to say goodnight. Right.
What is happening?
Well, boys, different level. I got told off last week for being nasty to Jake. I have just had a click of the fingers.
Oh. Was that from wife?
I'm feeling the support of wife. I love it. It's been a good hour, and I've enjoyed it. It has gone very, very fast. And
it's gone fast because it's not quite been an hour.
Yeah. Right, okay.
Can I just quickly?
I think one of the major factors is that we've actually had things to talk about as well.
Yes, we have, yeah.
Just quickly, we've got an international listener, watcher. Is it Lies? I think your name is, or Lise? Lies from Statesboro, Georgia, USA. Wow.
Oh, wow.
Thank you very much for tuning in.
Ooh,
and
what time
also,
is it over there?
It'll be about
4:00. Georgia be 5 hours behind, I think. It's 3:00.
Okay.
Also, a couple more. Perry says, I heard the pub is going to be a beard-free zone, so Jake, you'll be all right.
Yes.
Also, Josh says, Jake would also get ID'd to watch Toy Story. I'm going to let you wrap up, Jake.
Okay, we've just got a lot of, social media warriors in our comments. That's great.
Ignore the haters.
Yeah. It's all great banter. We love it. And that's what we do miss about football. Don't quite miss Liam and Ryan. Henry, it's going to be great to see you again. Can't wait.
He's been the main culprit.
I know.
You want a lift to our playoff defeat at Oxford or not, Jake?
Well, apparently only one of us is going. So I think we'll have to flip a few coins and do a few games of rock, paper, scissors. But
what you don't know is that I've been given the divvy to do it as well.
Oh,
one more. Sorry. We've got one more. We've got Oddvar watching from Norway.
Oh,
wow.
Yes.
So nice.
Cracking.
Hello,
Arnold. Cracking. Right, I'm off.
I would say hello in Norwegian, but I'd leave that to Ryan.
Hello.
You probably...
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
I
don't know. I didn't study
this show
Norwegian.
Has fallen off the rails.
Liam, Ryan, it's been a pleasure. It's been an hour nearly. Henry, thank you for coming on. Hope you're well.
My pleasure.
hope you can get up to speed again with the Hawks and, of course, over the white line when things do start to resume. Join us next week at the same time, 7 o'clock, on the Express FM Facebook page. We'll be live with episode 7, if we haven't been taken down by then. And hopefully, I'd have gained a hair or two. Liam would have a full entire mop on his head. And actually, Ryan, what was your long word of the day?
I think retribution was my longest of the day. I didn't have anything that... There was no really massive breaking story that I could really get my teeth sunk into. So you can have retribution.
Retribution. Love it. Lads, thank you very much. To everyone watching, thank you for watching. Looking forward to hearing from you next week. Stay safe and play up Pompey.
Up the Blues.